Good morning, everyone. So, as Matt said, I'm quite excited to speak to you this morning about the intimacy of God. And Matt has asked Graham and myself, and Graham will be sharing the second half. So the creator of the whole universe, the planets, the stars, and all what's in them, is an intimate God. And he wants to have a personal relationship with us. Wow, that's amazing. But do we want to have a relationship with him? I guess that's another question. Firstly, let's ask ourselves, why do we value relationships so much? I mean, wherever you go in the world, whatever culture, whatever country you go to, people love relationships. They love to feel that they belong. And when they belong, it's that's when they thrive. As a lot of you know, I go out on the streets, street evangelising, and last year I went out on the streets and I was chatting to a guy from Sheffield and I asked him his story. I said, tell me your story. And he said he came from Sheffield and his dad was drunk a lot, and so he was into alcohol, and very often he'd come home and he'd take it out on his mum. And unfortunately, with the pressure and everything, his mum then took drugs as well, and he said that with his sisters, they were on their phones all the time, and so he thought he'd come and try and make a new start in Cornwall. And so he found himself on the streets. And so I said to him, what is it you miss most about home? And I thought he was going to say, oh, a warm bed, or nice clothing, or a hot meal. And without hesitation, he said, the thing that he misses the most is the people that he loves. So for me, this is the good news. God, he wants to know us. And you and I were created to live in a relationship with him. And we were also created in his image of intimacy. We're intimate beings. Now, a friend of mine, and for confidential reasons I won't say, but he was having trouble in his marriage. And he was very much into tractors. And he'd be driving his tractor all day long. And his wife said, you know, I feel we've lost our intimacy. She said, you're always talking about your tractor and you're on it all day long. You come home and it's tractor this, tractor that. She says, you even have pictures of your tractor. She says, I think you buy a tractor monthly magazine. And so he says, well, maybe I'll take you out for a meal. So she said, well, I'm not going out on the tractor. And they did. They went out for this meal, and they were sitting there in the restaurant, and they were having a lovely meal, and all of a sudden, black smoke came out of the kitchen. And he got up, and he walked over, and he sucked in this black smoke, went past his wife to the front door, and blew it out the door. Then he walked back again past his wife, past everyone in the restaurant, and sucked up the black smoke. Back out he went, and blew it all out. He came back and sat down. Everyone in the restaurant just thought, that was a marvellous, there's clapping him and everything. And his wife said to him, that's amazing. How did you do that? He said, well, I'm an ex-tractor fan. Thank God for humour, yeah? Intimacy is important. Let's read God's word. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. I believe our God is an intimate God. And maybe you're at the point of your life here where you've tried everything, but it just doesn't satisfy. Money, possessions, you know, very often if we leave God out, we try other stuff and it just won't satisfy. I've made some headings, hopefully to help. And the first one is realization. We have to be made to know him. Nothing can take that place. You can try and fill that hole with stuff, but as I said, it just won't satisfy. And then we have receive. Receive his love. He's calling you now. We think of the Bible right from the beginning. God was calling Adam. If someone gave you a present and it was this big box and it was all wonderfully wrapped up and they said, here you go, and you went, okay, I'll stick it over there. That's not really receiving it. But if you opened it up and you looked in and you saw the wonder what God has in store for us, wow. The next one is real. You have to receive his love and be real with him. He knows anyhow. I don't think we can ever surprise God. And very often, how many times, you know, as Christians, we tell him the good stuff and we talk to him about that, but we can hold on to the other stuff because, like, we think almost, you know, as if we're going to surprise God or something. But we never surprise him. He wants to know. And then fourthly, return. Return all the glory to a loving, holy God. Now that may include prayer and time alone with him. And to know someone, you have to spend time with them. Do we all agree? To really know them, you have to spend time with them. Now, when I first met Susie, or just before I met Susie, my wife, I was going to a church in Newquay. And she was going to a church in Penzance, and we would write to each other. And Susie could have said to me, I'm a really good cook, I'd do a really good bolognese. And I would have thought, yeah, that sounds good. Or she could have said, I'm a gentle, loving, kind person. And I would have thought, yeah, that's really nice. But you see, now we're married, and we've been married for 12 years, I can tell you that she is all of those things. She is a good cook. She is a loving, kind, gentle person. It's because I've spent time with her. And can you imagine so much more on a bigger scale, spending time with God and knowing God more and more intimately? Wow, how amazing that is. So is there anything that can get in the way of personal relationships? And what can get in the way of our intimacy with our Heavenly Father? Well, a little while ago, me and Susie had a disagreement. We were coming home from church and we were going to Penzance and we had to go somewhere. And I said that we had to turn right. Well, Susie said we had to turn left. So I said, no, it's right. She said it was left. I said it was right. And I turned right because I was right. And I can't. Well, I wasn't. No, I was right, but I held on to something. I held on to some unforgiveness. And so we went and saw the guy that we had to see, and that was that. And that week, I was due to speak at Lanterns here on the Tuesday. And so normally during the week, I'm preparing and I'm asking God, I'm speaking to him, and I'm saying, Lord, shall I talk about this? And I feel his presence say, yes, Chris, or no, Chris. And sometimes I think, you know, shall I say this? And he says, definitely no. And I speak with him. Well, that week I was so busy, I didn't speak with him. And come the Friday night, I was in my little office at home, and I had my pen, and I hadn't written nothing. And I went and saw Susie, and I said, do you know, it's incredible, it's Tuesday. And Susie said to me, she said, have you prayed to him? And I says, yeah, I've prayed, you know. She says, are you angry with anyone? I don't think so. No, I'm not angry with no one. She said, have you been doing something that you shouldn't be doing? I was like, not that I know of. She then said, are you carrying some unforgiveness? Wow. It was like 2 hours, zonk, zonk. I thought, yeah, oh no. And so I said, yeah, darling, the other day I carried unforgiveness for you. So she just said, oh, I forgive you. I forgive you. And I said, oh, thanks, right, I'm going back to my little office. So I went back, and on the way she then said, have you said sorry to God? And it was like, oh, I was like, and I did. I said, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. And thankfully, I really meant it. I said, I'm really sorry, Lord. And I knew I meant it. And then I went and sat in my office. And it was like, come unto me, all ye heavy burden laden. And it just couldn't come quick enough. God, I just felt that connection again. And I was just, you know, not that God had gone anywhere, but maybe I had. Have you ever known anyone that you've kind of known them for years? Maybe in the office, I don't know, at school, whatever. And they go or something, and then you think, do you know, I never really knew that person. Has that happened? You feel that you really know them, but you kind of don't really know them. And all I can say is that maybe they suffer from intimacy. You know, we're meant to have intimate relationships, but stuff happens in life. And so maybe they suffer with rejection or intimacy. And so I'll put this picture up. Michael Jackson. How did I get to that? Ow. Probably one of the world's greatest entertainers, if not the greatest entertainer. Boy, was he good. And yet, sadly, before he died, he said to a close friend, everything I ever did in life, all the dance routines, the albums, videos, was an attempt to feel loved, to feel accepted, and not to be alone. He then went on to say, particularly, he felt rejected and he didn't have an intimate relationship with his father. You know, we can have all the money in the world. We've seen it, haven't we? People with all the money, the possessions, everything, and yet they feel like they've got nothing. And yet we can have very little and have Jesus and feel like we've got everything. The psalmist writes, though my father and mother may forsake me, the Lord will receive me. God will never let you down. He never changes, neither. And then we have a lady called Annie Johnson Flint. Who knows Annie Johnson Flint? I was expecting a lot of hands. Well, she's a hero of mine because she's a famous hymn writer, and she knew what suffering was. In her life, she suffered with cancer. She suffered with rheumatoid arthritis her whole life. And when she was lying in bed, and I believe that she had such an intimate relationship with God, and when she was lying in bed with losing her eyesight, she wrote this hymn. And I just believe that you could only possibly write something like this if you're close to your Father. And these are the words. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. So addeth afflictions, he multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving has only begun. His love has no limits, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. I believe she knew her Heavenly Father well. Realisation. God is an intimate Father. He really is. Receive. Open your hearts and see that he's good. Real. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that verse. Because he is faithful and just. It's only God who's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then finally, if return, give him the glory. Give it to a holy God, a loving holy God. Let's pray. Please forgive us when we try to go through life on our own. Your word says that the pure in heart shall see God. Father, help us to have the hearts that want to seek you and desire you in all that we do. May we make you the centre of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning all. Intimate time with God. Now this is quite a difficult subject for me. And when Matt asked me to speak on this subject at the men's weekend away, I said to him that I really struggle with having any intimate time with God. And his reply was perfect. You're just the man. So now be thankful that today I only have you. So now my brain is either going at 500 miles an hour or I can't seem to interrupt it. So really struggle to put time aside and spend quality time with God. I can grab a few minutes here and there, but prolonged intimate time, not very often, if I'm honest. And then when I add into that the constant pain I'm in from my neck, which gets progressively worse throughout the day, and finding time without distraction is really rare. Now, I know I'm not alone in this. I know every one of us has busy lives. And I know we all have our distractions. But because I don't get anywhere near as much intimate time as God as I'd like, I start to think that I'm bad. I go through a list of things that I think we ought to be doing. I ought to spend more time in worship, in prayer, reading my Bible, praising God, thanking God. I ought to spend more time focusing on his kingdom, in my family, how the kingdom looks in my church, how it looks in my town, how it looks in our county and country. I ought to be more obeying what God wants from me right now, today, tomorrow. I ought to spend more time asking God to help me with everything that I do throughout my day. I should be keeping a short account with God. I ought to be, praying to God and asking forgiveness for all my faults and my failings. I should be really working on forgiving others. I should be combating the works of the enemy in my life and those around me. Now I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm a new creation. I know I'm a work in progress. I know I'm justified. I know I'm on the road to sanctification. I know I'm not perfect, and I know God does not expect me to be. And I know he's factored in every one of my faults and failings. Someone else said he factors in you're stupid, which he does. Now I know all this, but yet I still condemn myself for the things that I ought to be doing. I condemn myself for the sin in my life. How can I sin one moment and then expect to draw near to God the next? And yes, I know that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. But yet, sometimes I still feel unworthy to be in his presence. I let the wily fox that Steve was talking about last week in the door. He nudges his way in. I don't feel worthy here. I don't feel worthy here, whereas I know I am up here. And to paraphrase something that Tom Wright wrote, he says, the more we wrap God around us, the closer we hug God's life, love for us, the louder the enemy shouts, you're a sinner. And the one thing that prevents me from really spending intimate time with God more than anything else is I'm scared. I'm scared to spend time with God, and I'm scared to draw near to God. Because it seems that every time I really try to draw near, every time I open my heart, every time I put my head above the parapet, I get shot at. Every time I try to address some of the big issues of my life, I get attacked. I get attacked through some people around me, my relationship with my ex and how it works with my children, my mental health, my finances, and more than anything else, through pain. The constant pain in my neck is draining enough, but when the enemy turns it up, it's all consuming. And I know I'm not alone to be attacked. I see it firsthand as the enemy goes for everyone in the leadership in our church, how he attacks new Christians and draws them away, old Christians in an attempt to knock them down. He attacks our families and stoops as low to attack our children. And I know I'm not alone in being scared. I've discussed it with friends who have also drawn away from intercede to protect themselves. Now, how crazy is that? How stupid is it? But it's true. It happens. I draw away because I'm frightened of the consequences sometimes. Now, when I was baptized, there was one word from God in the prayers that was said over me that has really stuck with me. And it was from Danny. And she said, when you step out, God will step with you. But you have to step first. And that's stuck with me ever since. Now, I can give in to the fear or I can fight it. I can give in to the condemnation or I can declare that I'm not. I can wallow in being unworthy or I can accept what the one who rescued me says about me. I can shy away from intimacy or I can accept that God is yearning for intimacy with me. And I've had a rough idea for weeks about what I was going to be saying today. And I plan to start putting pen to paper on Friday. It's been a busy couple of weeks. And my verses for the day on Friday were Romans 7, 21 to 24. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work within me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, now Paul might be referring to Israel, or he might not be, or even both in this. But you know, I want to do good. I want to spend time with good, but evil seems to be right there with me. I delight at God, but another is at work within me, waging war with my mind. Who will rescue me? Jesus Christ, our Lord. And how amazing is that? The very problems I'm describing just happen to come up in Scripture on the day that I'm putting this together. You know, you couldn't script it. And I'm stepping out today. God has stepped with me. Now, I've painted a pretty bleak picture before, but that is not the end of the story. The fight for intimacy goes on. Now, I've been a Christian now for 4 years and 10 days and about 25 minutes. For almost 4 years, I've struggled to read the Bible. I would dip in and out and look at what it says on a particular topic. I would read around the verses that come up on a Sunday or in groups that I attended through the weeks, but sit and intentionally read it? No. Sit and spend time with God while I'm reading the Bible? No, I've really struggled with it. But in the last couple of months, I've had a real breakthrough. With the help of a book that Steve lent me, yeah, it's Tom Wright, For Everyone series, and I'm going through Romans verse by verse by verse, and I'm actually making time to read my Bible more often than not each day. And I often find myself excited to wake up to see what's coming next. It's just amazing. And when I start the day this way, it makes a difference. It sets me up for the day. It takes me away from my problem and gets God into it from the start. And I've also found a great new app. This is called Bible Thinker. And it's an addition to a huge selection of podcasts on a wide range of theological, philosophical and apologetic subjects. Now, it wouldn't be right if I didn't mention the word apologetics once when I speak, for those that know me. Yeah. But also, Mike Wing is going through the Gospel of Mark verse by verse by verse. It's almost like a series of Sunday services, and he goes through it all. Yeah, okay, I don't subscribe necessarily to all of the theological positions he takes, but I tell you what, shopping at Tesco's has never been so interesting. And then on the Sunday service, we had on intercessory prayer a few months ago. I've actually been praying for 5 people every day. The same 5 people every day since the 9th of July. And it actually varies from 5 to 12 people, as I include partners and family members within that. Now, I'm rubbish at remembering stuff to do. If it's not written down or in my phone, it doesn't exist. So I've set up reminders. Every one of those little dots under the date is a reminder for each of the 5 people in my phone. And they go off at set intervals every single day of the week. Every day I'm reminded to pray for others. It can be a quick prayer or it can be a longer one. Sometimes I have a specific prayer in mind. Other times I just simply say, God, just get involved. Just as simple as that. And because I've stepped out to take time with God, he's been at work. There's still lots to do, but he's definitely been at work in almost all of those lives. Now, I was just reading through this morning, and I received a text when I got to this point, right? And let me just read to you. Morning, enjoy church. This is one of the people I pray for. Just thought I'd let you know that I had the most amazing encounter with God last night. You know? It's just, you can't make it up. You know, you just can't make it up. But the biggest question I ask myself is, why don't I pray more? If when I pray, now that's wrong, as when I spend time with God in prayer, God works. Why don't I do more of it? Ooh, I've got tears in my eyes. And recently, the biggest change in my prayer life has been how I pray. Now, when you pray, do you believe that God listens? Is it like a long-distance call that you hear and God is somewhere off in the distance? Or do you feel like you're leaving a series of voicemail messages for him to pick up at his leisure? I've been trying to include my imagination more and more and more into my prayer. I try to imagine that God is actually hearing my prayer then and there, knowing that he feels my pain, my joy, and he hears my thanks. And this was a whole new concept for me. I tended to pray thinking that God was aloof and distant. Intellectually, I knew he heard my prayers, but emotionally, I wasn't sure. And Matt gave a vivid picture, actually, of how Jesus descended into hell a few weeks ago. You know, how Jesus, when he died on the cross, and he imagined the reaction and jubilation in hell in their victory, only for it to be taken from them as Jesus rose from the dead. And this is another example of similar things of imagination from Greg Boyd. And this is what he imagines when he begins to pray. I envision myself walking into the heavenly council meeting of the Most High God. Jesus is sitting on a throne. I kneel or stand before him. And a myriad of angels are surrounding us in a Colosseum-like place. Just before I speak, I see Jesus hold up his hands, signifying that the angels now have to be quiet because my son Greg has something he wants to talk about. You and I have all of God's attention. And as children of God, we are invited to boldly approach the throne. My imagination brings my prayers to life. It allows me to have some intimacy with God, even sometimes if it doesn't last very long. And I've realised that I don't have to sit and spend a long time with God to experience a bit of intimacy. Yeah, I desperately want to find a way to have longer times with him. My heart yearns for it. I want to put my fears aside. I spend half an hour or an hour a day or longer, you know, just intimately with God, but I'm not there yet. But he definitely does meet me where I'm at. And when I step out, he steps with me. And the most amazing intimacy I'm having at the moment is with the Lord's Prayer. And I take one line at a time. And it starts with, Our Father. But actually, it's my Father. personalize it to me. I imagine what my father is like. I just sit on those two words. How amazing is he? How much does he love me? How he delights in me? How supportive he is? How much of a friend he's becoming? What he's done for me now and what he's doing in the future? How incredible his grace is. Very often I don't get any further than my father. I can just sit in it and it's just, sometimes it brings me to tears just thinking about it. Who art in heaven? Well, what does heaven look to you? Yeah. Does it look like similar to the picture that Greg Boyd put with it, all the big thrones and angels and everything around? Or how amazing will it be to be there? What will it be like for me to be free from pain? Yeah. What will it be like for me to forever worship it? Abba Father, I am. And then when you think of I am, you move on to Jesus. You move, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. You can sit on the name and intimately explore what it means to me and what God is saying to me through it. Every verse speaks to me in a different way each time I pray. God speaks to me through them. I experience intimacy with God. Now, I won't go through every verse now. But actually what I've decided to do, I decided this yesterday, is I'm going to split the Lord's Prayer into seven sections and I'm going to put a reminder in my phone for every day of the week. So on Sunday, I'm going to go with Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Monday, your kingdom come. Tuesday, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive me my trespasses. As we forgive others, as I forgive others, who will God bring to mind that with that day? And then lead us not as temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, when I started this, this wasn't planned, but it fit really nicely into what it is, right? And then when I was looking and I was thinking about doing this going through, every one of those tackles every ought that I said at the beginning. So when I said, I ought to be worshipping more, I ought to be more kingdom focused. I ought to be obeying more. I ought to be asking God more. I ought to be keeping a short account for my failings. I ought to be forgiving others. And I ought to be fighting the enemy. 7 days, seven oughts of what I said I ought to be doing. Yeah. I'll let you know how it goes. Now, in a similar way, worship music. Malcolm, you can change now. In a similar way, worship music has also come to life with imagination. And in the weeks running up to today, again, one song has intimately connected with me. And I've had it on repeat for days and days and days. And I did ponder the idea of singing it. But I think it's best I leave to YouTube. It's I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. Thank you.